appreciate the almighty presence of God. Appreciate what I feel in Him tonight. I want us to do some reading and some absorbing of the Word of God, and I'll try to bring out the best of what God has instilled in me. So if you don't have a Bible, try to get one so you can keep up with me. So I really want us to read this together because it's really a compelling word that God had given me. In the book of James, third chapter, start in the fourth verse. I'll give everybody a second to get there. And as I was looking some of this up and I began to read and take some of this in, God began to speak to me and make me realize the power of my words and how my words come into use in so many ways. And how my words come in when I begin to worship God, when I begin to sing to Him, when I'm preaching out to others, when I'm speaking out to people out every day on the job, or when I'm trying to communicate my need to somebody else, or when I'm like shopping at the store, or if I'm trying to communicate to somebody that I'm hungry, or if I'm thirsty, or if I'm in desperate need of something, or if I'm just trying to get gas so I can go on my journey, begin to think about how much the communication that my words play as an important part of my life. And how I thought about how sometimes when I'm angry, when I'm emotional, that how my words channel how I'm feeling inside. How my words will convey to somebody else. Then they'll know exactly how I'm feeling just by the very words that I bring out to them. So let's just begin to read, and I'll try to bring this out as God gave it to me. Verse 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is truly an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. I think about how sometimes that if you get flustered, well, let me put it like this. When we read that, every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents, those creepy crawly things that nobody wants to fool with, that we turn away and run away from, even those things, you know, can be tamed. Yet our tongue is beyond that. And I thought about that, how that our very words can be even more evil and do more damage than something like a serpent that could kill somebody with one bite. And how that our venom from our words can just put somebody to death. And that's worked on me. And it counts for my life because it's something I have to work on. And one thing that God showed me is I can't have it both ways. You know, I have to learn on taming my tongue every single day. It's not something that I conquer one day of the week and expect that my life can be perfect the rest of the week and that I can just get away with not taming it and expect life to be perfect without having to take care of the way that I conduct myself. The poison that comes from our words when we talk about other people will afflict them whether they're in our presence or not. The words that we begin to utter about others hurts them. And I begin to think about that, and I'm trying more than I ever have in my life to never say a word about another. I want you all to know that no matter how good or bad a service is, I don't say a word about anybody anymore. Because I know that if a service takes a sour turn, that I need to look no further than me. Because if I didn't do, then I just need to look at myself. I need to look inside of me, because there's something obviously wrong here. Because if I wasn't doing my part, then I would have clearly seen the need and been able to help somebody else. Sometimes the very key to a service is no further than inside of you. And we fail to realize that. Just by standing up and worshiping God, you open the door to worship. We open the door by being able to worship God. You inspire others just by standing up by your actions. And I thought about that in our modern day, that our actions are more than just words anymore. Our body language says so much about us. You can do nothing and let me know that you want nothing to do with me and say nothing to me. And that's just as deadly. And somebody can come in here lost. And if we portray to them that we're not interested, if we portray to them that we do not care by our language, if we do not show them in some kind of way that we love them, that's no better. It's like we're giving that deadly poison. You can have all the most powerful singing. Behold also the ships, though they be so great. We can have the best preaching in all the land. We can have the most anointed music in all the land. We can have the greatest anointed prophets in Campbell County. But if we don't tame our little members and get our other actions in line, so that what comes out of our mouth and how we move based on our thoughts and what's in our heart lines up with what our intentions are in the service, they'll be able to see not only and be able to hear, but they'll see also. I want people, when they come in here, to not only know that they're loved because I tell them. I want them to be able to know that they're loved because I move to them and hug them. I want them to know because I go and shake their hand and encourage them to be obedient. I'm trying to do that to everybody that I see. I'm trying to lift them up with encouraging words. Joe, I'm trying to be loving. I'm trying to pour out into people something that is uplifting. I don't want to pour anything out that's poisonous. There's so much of that out there in the world that we live in today, that if you stay out there long enough and don't assemble yourself in the house of God, it will get the best of you. If you don't get into a place where you're being fed something that is soothing to your spirit, if you're not around people that will lift you up, that are godly, if we sit around poison long enough, it will overtake you. I'm just here to tell you, if we sit around long enough in the enemy's camp, you will get thirsty. And when you get thirsty, you will partake and consume something that was never meant for you. And you'll be discouraged, and you'll look for somebody to feed you something. You'll look for somebody to comfort you. And they'll lift you up with the wrong spirit, with the wrong words. They'll speak it with that member in the wrong manner. And they'll ruffle your feathers and get you angry in a way that you never should have been. And you'll walk around in an angry spirit, and the enemy will work with you in the way that should have never happened. And you'll come into church and you'll be an example that God never intended for you to be. And then we'll never be the witness that God ever called us to be. God wants us to be separated, wants us to partake in something that is holy. But we have to tame the tongue that's within us. We have to learn to watch the words that come from our mouth. We have to learn to control the very thoughts that live within our very mind. If we don't learn to control those things, it doesn't matter if you ever say it. It shows on you anyway. You are what you eat. You are what you think. It shows on you whether you want to believe it or not. You might not be satisfied with a service, and you might not tell me that, and that's fine. But don't think for a second that it doesn't.
doesn't show on you when you sit around and you look like the most miserable person in the world. See, God shows that in the spirit when somebody's obeying God, and he wants people to be happy and he wants you to be satisfied. But God is a God that believes that his children should be in a self-service world. What does that mean? That we should rise up and be, oh, bold enough to be able to get up and praise God for ourselves. Be able to rise up and get a hold of it. So that when somebody comes in that's truly in need, that can't even have the strength to stand, that we'd be able to go to them. Because if we're not careful and we're all in that spirit and we're all not taming that, we'll go right out the door and talk about how bad things are. I want you to know that when we talk about why something didn't go the way that it should and we blame somebody for doing something, we're throwing out something that should have never came out. Never should have came out. And I'm not doing it anymore. I'm one less that's doing it. I don't care whose fault it is. Even if I feel like I know, even when I feel like in myself that I'm justified to think that it's somebody's fault, I'm not going to do it. I'm not sowing discord. That's what that is. We begin to cast out that. That's a stench in God's nostril. I often wonder, just like you do, why do you speak through Jared in such ways like this? I wonder that too. But God just does it that way. God just does it that way. Let's go on. I have a couple more. I'm excited. I've loved to read and I've been doing a lot of it. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. Hallelujah. Is this blessing you? I hope you're learning something. Verse 19 in chapter 16. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Isn't that amazing, JR? Isn't that amazing? That understanding is a wellspring of life to him that has it. To him that has it. How do we get it? As God would instruct it, right? You have to be seeking God for the understanding. And as God would appoint it and give it to you, once you have it, it is a wellspring. I think that's significant. It is something that's constantly in motion. Something that you're continually seeking after. It's not something that ever gets stale. Something that you just get satisfied with one day. It's something that you just continually pray after. Yeah. Understanding is something that, Lord, I need understanding for this situation. And God, I'm seeking you for this situation. And God, I'm praying for this situation. That means to me that I'm praying for him, and I'm praying for them, and I'm praying for this, and I'm praying for that every single day. That means I'm praying without ceasing. That means it's something that's going on all the time. That means the words from my member are going continually. There's not anything, there's no time that's passing by that's stopping. It's giving no room to the enemy to be able to crawl in my mind and put corrupt things in there. When I obtain the understanding, it is a spring of life unto him that has it. But the instruction of fools is folly. When we go out there and we try to get advice from our best buddies that aren't godly, that don't really have the understanding of God, they'll try to lead you the best way that they can, but it only goes as far as the earth that you can see, because it is of this world. God will lead you further because he sees ahead further than our eyes can see. His knowledge is holy. His knowledge is spiritual, and he goes forth ahead of you and can see what's ahead of you. And if you seek him, though we may not see the outcome, though we may not know the answer to tomorrow, he will make a way, Tommy, when there seems to be no way. He'll open the doors when it seems like there's 50 locks on it. God will make a way. He will improve the circumstance. He will open a door and He will tear down the enemy's stronghold. I don't care what the devil says about any circumstance. There is no lock that he could put on any door that God could not break. There is no principality that he could state that God cannot move in. As long as we seek for understanding to be able to hang on long enough and be faithful long enough to endure to the victory, that we can be overcomers and not whiners and complainers and murmurers. How can we be a witness and lead anybody lest we be able to make it to the victory? How can we lead lest we go forward? Cowards go backwards. I want you to know that. If you feel like you're going backwards, you're afraid. You're afraid of the enemy. You're giving ground up. You're walking away in fear. But God is all powerful and will move if you trust Him. Woo. It's better to serve Him with these humble qualities. In other words, I wouldn't try to come in God's house with a chip on your shoulder. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do to get an absolute outpouring of the Holy Ghost when you're mad at everybody at church. It's not going to work. You got to get it right in here so that you can have the mind of Christ, the love of Christ, that you would be willing to put everybody on your back and stand up and pray for everybody and do the work. You'll be blessed that way. When you divide the spirit with the proud, you walk out of here and you think that there's no need to pray for all them because you've got yours and it doesn't matter if they got theirs. Let's not ever get to a place where we think that I'm highly anointed, I'm highly blessed, and it doesn't matter if they get any help or not. I would be ashamed to walk down that road. God didn't call us, to feel like that we were up on some pedestal. I know where God brought me from. He brought me from such a low place, and I know that I didn't go any further. I know I'm still in a low place. I'm just free now. Do you realize that all we have now is freedom with a little power and some faith behind it? Woo! God's anointing is not short if you trust in Him. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness. Verse 32. But the righteous hath hope in his death. That means it's going to go down. It's going to eventually be over with if we endure. So many people, they get hurt. They run out of here. They'll come back. Something else happens. They're gone again. They're going around the mountain. Merry-go-round of church hurt. Guys, if they come in here and it was us that it was our fault that it happened, we better get our act together and take care of it. Tell them we love them. Tell them we're sorry and clean up the mess, because we will be held accountable. I think about that church hurt merry-go-round, and if we're acting like kids, we're like that one that kicked them off when they were going around having a good time just trying to play. So if we see people come in, I don't care how long it's been. Like Doris has always said, it's a staple here. Got to love them anyway. Got to welcome them back. Got to do all that we can to make them feel like they have a place to go. There's plenty of places out there that are shunning people because it's been too long since they've been. Yeah, their name's on the roster, but it's been a long time since they've been there. I don't know if I've ever technically signed my name on this roster, but I feel like a part of the family.
Don't you?
That's how it should be. Hallelujah. That's how it should be. A connection. Hallelujah. a connection. That when people come in, they feel drawn by the love inside of you. Not a great big sign that says you're welcome. Not a sign that says that we have 1,000 here and that we need 100 more. But a connection that draws them. Let's read on. I'm getting a little excited. Just a little. Proverbs chapter 21. Keep reading with me. It gets better. Chapter 21, verse 23. If you got a pencil, mark these. You'll read it back later, and it'll take on a completely different meaning to you. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Huh? If we can learn to be bigger than a conversation of the enemy, you can spare yourself from much trouble.
Yes, amen.
That means if it's just about got you to where it's got on your nerves, it's the last straw. That was the one that pushed your button. If you've got to get up out of your chair, pull over and get out of the car, if you've got to literally pick yourself up and move out of the room to make something until you learn to tame yourself, be godly, and escort yourself out of the room and take a breather. I was talking to Angela the other day. If we cannot learn to conquer the little battles, we'll never be grown-up adults to handle the big things when they come. If we don't stop caring about whose fault it was and who started it, we'll never be able to handle the big things when they come. Sometimes I think if we don't get past those little battles, the big blessings can never come, because God wants us to be a little bit grown. Wants us to be able to be seasoned to handle His Word. Wants us to be able to be tried and true. Tried and true go together. Do we receive this? Come on now. I want you to read this and take it to somebody else. Read this to somebody else and tell them what's on your heart. We're all ministers of God. You might not be called to preach in the fullest way on the podium, but everybody is a minister. Everybody has the ability to read the Bible and tell somebody the meaning that God shows you. Everybody does. Don't tell me that you don't have the ability to bring that out as God would lead you. Chapter 22, verse 24. I'm going quick. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. We need to be careful to watch our words as well as the company that we are in. The longer we stay in that, the more we become it. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that where I'm sitting at and my best buddy I've had for 10 years, I might have to move that out of my way if it's making me talk a little bad? Yes, that's absolutely what I'm telling you. Wait, he's my relative. He's my family. I can't do that. You can hang around him on the holidays, but that doesn't mean you have to call him every day.